Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend, able to celebrate the Lord's Day. As I was preparing for this week, I wanted to pick up on what I covered last week. We're in the season of Advent, this very important season of preparation. We remember the two comings of our Lord. Everyone's scrambling to get ready for Christmas, especially this week. Things are heating up. But always remember that we've got one eye on his first coming to celebrate the incarnation, the staggering reality of what God has done for us. And the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, humbled himself, became one of us, took on human flesh. He emptied himself. St. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, that beautiful passage, really the hymn to what Christ has done. And he shows us the weight of humility, self-emptying, obedience to the Father. And ultimately, he's the one who the Father exalts at his right hand. The humble are raised up. And I've thought about that passage in light of this season that we're in and the posture that the Lord wants us to give. And in light of that, I was recalling what happened back November 19th when here in the Detroit area, we celebrated the beatification of Solanus Casey, the Franciscan monk, the simple, beautiful man, the doorkeeper, really, who was raised up to the level of being a blessed, and the church recognized him. The whole ceremony, my wife and I took in the ceremony, and it was a beautiful Catholic moment that communicated, I think, the best of what it means to be a Catholic and our vision, our worldview, our story, what we value, what we honor, and what we aspire to be. And it was such an amazing thing to see Ford Field, you know, this big NFL football field, had about 60,000 people there, had royalty from Rome, you know, had the cardinal there representing the Holy Father, had a number of bishops and retired cardinal, I don't know how many bishops, just lots of priests and lots of brothers and civic leaders, the elites of society, you know, the rich, the poor, and everybody in between gathered there for this amazing celebration. There's a lot of anticipation for it. And Solanus Casey was in Detroit for a long time. He was also in Yonkers, New York, and Indiana and other places, but spent a significant amount of his time as a monk in Detroit. And he was such a unique character. For those of you who don't know him, he was a priest, but because of inability to learn the right languages at seminary and other kinds of limitations that he had, he was ordained a priest, but he couldn't celebrate the Eucharist, and he couldn't hear confessions, which is a kind of humbling situation to live in. But it turns out this man, who lived a very simple and humble life as a doorkeeper, ended up touching the lives of thousands of people, and God using him in powerful ways to bring about all kinds of healings in people's lives, really amazing stories of healings, as well as words of knowledge to encourage people. And he just was a source of life, and he was living with the Lord, and the life of the Lord was flowing out of him, and he had huge trust in God. He understood God was great, that God was good, that God could be trusted, and he imparted that kind of faith in God, trust in God, to everybody who encountered him. He consoled so many, he listened to so many, and he didn't favor the rich or the special. He had a particular heart for the poor. In 1929, during the Depression years, he helped establish the soup kitchen there. The main point in reflecting on it in this season of Advent, we're called to prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord. St. Peter's calls, how should we then live? Knowing that Jesus is Lord, that he's become one of us, that he's destroyed death, he's restored life in his own person, that he's risen to the right hand of God the Father, and we know he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. The next time Jesus shows up on earth, he's coming as the judge of everything. He's going to deal with all opposition to the Father. He's going to welcome all those who say yes to the offer of salvation the Father has given through him. But Jesus is determined to give to the Father what belongs to the Father. That is, a people who are radically and totally devoted to him, in love with him, living in a holy fear of God, and walking in his commandments and obeying him and trusting him, like Solanus. So here was the event, this glorious, really beautiful celebration, one of the great moments for the church. And it just hit me how radically different it is than the world. It touched my heart so much I shed a tear to say, what a countercultural moment for the church, how the church expresses her aspirations, her desire, what she wants to become. And all these people are gathered, and all this attention is focused on a doorkeeper. And essentially what was at the heart of that event, maybe everybody there wasn't feeling it, saying it, but at the heart of that event was the church saying, we want to be just like that guy. That's who we all want to aspire to. We're not trying to aspire to be the richest, the most powerful, the most influential, the most famous. What we want is to follow in the footsteps of Solanas as he follows in the footsteps of his founder, St. Francis, who follows in the footsteps of the apostles, who follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Solanas aspired, his dream was, and he lived to be another Christ. He wanted to be everything God wanted him to be. He wanted to receive God's truth and not declare his own truth. He wanted to walk in the path that was laid out before him by God, not to independently, with a kind of radical autonomy, I'm going to blaze my own trail. I'm going to declare my own path, my own truth, my own road to ultimate fulfillment, which is so much a part of the narrative of today's world, the whole narrative of the road to full human dignity, and is to assert myself and to lay hold of this ideal of self-creative freedom that, you know, if I'm going to be happy, if I'm going to be what I have a right to be, I have to be the designer of my life, which means I have to deny that there's a designer. I have to deny that there's a path, because to do so is somehow to empty me of dignity and to steal my freedom. And God, if there is one, I'm in competition with, rather than God is my Father who loves me, who is the only path to my ultimate fulfillment, ultimate happiness and peace. Solanas is an example. The church raises up another, in this case, a blessed, possibly going to be canonized someday as a saint if another major miracle is discovered and the church recognizes it, discerns it. But the bottom line is, I thought the great sign of contradiction is all this fuss over a doorkeeper. I mean, the world has its Oscar galas and the NFL has its Hall of Fame and the world has all its big stuff, right? But what the church is trying to say, I mean, some of those things might be just fine, but what the church is saying is what we're passionate about, what we all pray and hope to aspire to, is to become just like that doorkeeper. That's what we'd like to be. We'd like to love God radically, and we want to love our neighbor as concretely as this guy did. But we bump into the self. We bump into the flesh within us, the part of us that doesn't want to love other people first, doesn't want to love God, love neighbor. But we're in a battle, really, against the self, against the flesh, and we see what's possible in the life of somebody like Solanas Casey, a man so simple. So it's not so much an acquisition of knowledge. How smart am I? How naturally gifted am I? Because he didn't have much of that. But what he had was great love, and this is what pleases God. This is what the church is trying to remind itself. It's trying to celebrate. This is the kind of thing that forms the culture, the way of life of the Catholic Church. What is it that we honor? So we raise up what we honor and to say, this is what we wish to aspire to. I was reading a reflection on some spiritual reading as well that made me think about Solanas and the battle that we have to walk in humility like Christ, and the battle we have against the self-love that's in us, all that in me that wants to put me first. And this particular writer talked about the self, that fallen dimension of my character, my life, my identity, my whole being, that Christ has come to save. He put it to death in baptism, and he's leading me to become a new man and leading you to become a new man or a new woman if you're baptized into Christ. He said the self clamors constantly for attention, and self-love is always worthless, and it's aggressive, it's grasping, it's impulsive. But the love of God is different. It's simple. It's peaceful. It's gentle. It's of few words. Again, the self, on the other hand, is always screeching its complaints and ends up trying to silence the voice of God. It kind of drowns out the voice of God. And it always wants to entertain itself, never feels sufficiently attended to, and seeks to be flattered. Did you ever have that experience? Let me read that again. I thought this author was so insightful. He said, the self-centered dimension of us, me first, my love, my comfort, is it always wants to entertain itself, and it never feels sufficiently attended to, and it seeks to be flattered. How about that? Never feels sufficiently attended to. How many times have in marriage have one person felt like he hasn't been attentive enough to me or she hasn't been attentive enough to me. We get angry, we get frustrated, and we want to strike back or pull away and fail to love because we're not getting attended to enough. When we love God, the writer shares with us is that we, like the saints, we are eager to have the self be forgotten and even counted as nothing. And so spiritual maturity is not so much an acquisition of things for ourselves or even knowledge, even spiritual knowledge. What God desires is not only knowledge of the way we're called to live, but the practice of it. Not just to enlighten our minds through reading and through meditation, which is all very good, but to actually love. And this is why the church raises up people like Solanus Casey, because he had both. He acquired knowledge, but that wasn't the end point for him. What he really did was every day surrender to the Lord in a very simple and a beautiful way, and he loved the person or persons that God brought to him in that day. And he gave out from the storehouse to each person who came of what God had given him that day. He received the manna in his morning prayer from the Lord, and he didn't have control of his whole day. He was in a posture of receptivity. And it's difficult for the world to find any value in that. There's no greatness there. There's nothing to aspire to. And that's when we miss how different God is. God's ways are not our ways. And the fulfilled life on this earth, the great life, isn't the life that has achieved recognition, accomplished this or that. That might be part of the picture. But the real question is, did you love? Did you love radically? And the great ones are the ones that love most radically in very concrete and specific ways. And here again, in the case of Solanus Casey, in fact, in contrast, for example, to Mother Teresa, who also was a great lover and loved the person in front of her every single day. And through her, God built an enormously beautiful and fruitful religious order. And she had that capacity in the calling and the gifting that God gave her. But Solanus didn't. But at his funeral, back in 1957, I think it was, almost 20,000 people showed up at this doorkeeper's funeral. And hundreds, even thousands of people testified to the impact that he had on their life. Transformative conversions, healings, repentance, just radically beautiful stories that came from this very simple man who gave it all to God, who walked in the footsteps of Jesus, who had the image of St. Francis probably before him. Almost every day he was a Franciscan, following in the footsteps of St. Francis and being helped by that beautiful Franciscan tradition of many, many saints and blesseds who laid down their lives and bore witness to what it meant to be a simple follower, a beggar, a simple follower of Jesus Christ. And remember, friends, the humble are exalted. This way of life the church wants to communicate to us is not only the greatest way of life that leads us to heaven and gives God the most glory, which is probably the most important thing, right? This loving exaltation of God and trusting God and the rest of it. But it's actually the best way to live on this earth. It's the road to happiness. It's the road to fulfillment. And the church wants to boldly proclaim that. And in the life of Solanus Casey, we find a concrete example for our time. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.